Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay and had a good weekend. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Monday, March the 30th. Coming up, a nightclub at the centre of a meningitis outbreak in Canterbury prepares to reopen.
Our community has lost two young people and we want to make sure that going forwards, they are always in our heads and that they are the focal point of something positive going forwards.
A man's getting ready for an epic run to raise awareness of mental health issues.
So some people may or may not know, me and my family, we lost our granddad over 10 years ago to suicide. So it's something very meaningful to us.
And we've got reaction from the Gillingham manager following another defeat at the weekend.
Not a great game. Lack of quality, both sides. Some of our set pieces and our crossing just way off, the final moments, way off.
But first on today's episode, the bosses of a very popular restaurant in Aylesford have told the Kent Online podcast they're deeply heartbroken following a fire over the weekend. Crews were called to the Hengist in the High Street just after midnight on Sunday. At its height, eight engines and a Hite vehicle were at the scene, with pictures on the website showing smoke billowing into the night sky. Well, the road outside the restaurant was cordoned off between Station Road and Mount Pleasant, but has now reopened. At the moment, it's not known what started the fire, but the business is temporarily closed. Abby Johnson is a friend of the family who own the restaurant and has set up a fundraising page to help them.
So I was actually working Saturday night at the Hengist. It was a very good shift, all ran really smooth. We got out the building by about 11:30, which was really early for sort of a Saturday night. And got home, and then I had a message on the group chat put through saying that obviously the Hengist is sort of on fire. And then obviously from there wasn't much sort of response from Kieran and George, as you can imagine. Obviously they're both in shock. Everything that they've sort of worked hard for over the last few years, day in, day out, evenings, early mornings, all sort of been destroyed. So yeah, it's not been a very nice few days for them, as you can imagine. It has been quite up in the air. No one really knows what to do. But yeah, it's not been nice for anyone, to be honest. Very shocked as well.
They have worked really hard, haven't they, over the last few years to create this sort of lovely space. I mean, it must be so sad for them. How are they coping with it all?
They're mortified, to be honest. Everything, like we said, everything they've worked hard for the last 3 years, their dream, it's just sort of been destroyed within literally minutes, really. So yeah, it's not very nice, but hopefully sort of the insurance can help. But it's more the staff as well. They've literally just sort of got a real good team together that work there. Obviously, you know what it's like in hospitality, it's sort of hard to get a good team, and now they've got that, like a family sort of. They all gel, they all get along really well. It's more sort of trying to keep them supported as well at this time. Obviously building cannot be used at the moment, so obviously no one can go to work. And as everyone sort of goes to work to earn money as well. So yeah, they're trying to support their staff as best they can at the moment, as they don't want to lose them as well. So obviously when the building is up and running again, that they can function again, because without the staff, obviously you can't run a restaurant. So it is quite hard at the moment to sort of juggle everything, but they will get through it. They are very strong. They've had lots of sort of hurdles with the restaurant as it is. But yeah, they've just sort of got out the other side and it's been running really well, just started sort of finally paying off. And then obviously this happened Saturday night. So yeah, it's dreadful.
Do you have a kind of a message to anyone who's maybe already donated to the fundraising page, or anyone who sort of hears this and thinks they want to help at all?
Yeah, I mean, obviously anything will help, even if it's like £2, anything that people can give would be greatly appreciated. Kieran and George, they're both very sort of supportive people. They're always there to help the community, and they do fundraising events. So if anyone could possibly give anything at all, it would be greatly appreciated.
Abby was chatting there to Lucy. Well, let's tell you a bit more about the Hengist. It's actually a 16th century property and was taken over by the current owners in April 2024 after it closed at the end of the previous year. They spent around £80,000 refurbishing the premises with some quite quirky decor while keeping the historical features. They also introduced a cocktail menu with drinks drinks presented in glasses, such as a red phone box and a hot air balloon. Well, now managers have said they'll contact customers who have bookings to reschedule. Police have confirmed an inquiry into the cause of the fire is ongoing.
Kent Online News.
This is one of our most read stories on the website today. A Sittingbourne man's been jailed after threatening workers with a fake gun during a robbery at a petrol station. Michael Pollock went into a BP garage in Bapchild last October and threatened to shoot staff if they didn't open the cash machine. The 35-year-old from London Road has 18 previous convictions and has been locked up for 6 years and 2 months. A Kent police officer has been found guilty of gross misconduct after he was seen throwing a drink over his ex-partner. A disciplinary hearing heard it happened at a Christmas party at the Village Hotel in Maidstone in December 2024. The Sittingbourne-based constable has been given a written warning. The boss of a nightclub at the centre of a meningitis outbreak in Canterbury has exclusively revealed to the podcast that they will reopen later this week. Club Chemistry voluntarily closed its doors earlier this month after almost 90% of cases could be traced back to the venue. Two young people died of the disease, which was found to be the meningitis B strain. Well, no new infections have been reported for more than 10 days now. Club Chemistry owner Louise Jones-Roberts has been speaking to reporter James Pallant ahead of reopening on Thursday.
Our community has lost two young people, and we want to make sure that going forwards, they are always in our heads and that they are the focal point of something positive going forwards. So we're partnering with Meningitis Now to try and ensure that the next generation and the current generation are protected and not put in that situation. We've got our own enhanced safety protocols for now, so health protocols. So we're going to do track and trace for a period of time. The partnership with Meningitis Now means that all of our staff will be trained on the symptoms and what to do, just to increase awareness. We will continue to campaign for the availability of the vaccine for people aged 15 to 25. And then in the venue, at Track and Trace, we're going to have hand sanitising stations, staff training, lots of awareness posters and material around. We prohibit smoking and vaping inside. Obviously, it's against the law to smoke inside. Vaping is more challenging. People seem to think it's okay. We will be operating a zero tolerance policy to vaping inside. Anybody caught will be asked to leave and they risk a permanent exclusion. We're also going to have up materials about asking people to be mindful around drink sharing and vape sharing.
Clearly, there's no suggestion that Club Chemistry staff here or anyone involved with the club is responsible for people getting sick, but Club Chemistry was at the centre of the outbreak. As the business owner, how has that felt?
Obviously, it's not what any business owner wants. And for it to be something that is so tragic, it's definitely not. But to be honest with you, it's just about a sense of perspective. Two families have lost their young people, and everything else sort of pales into insignificance.
How have your staff reacted over the last few weeks?
My team have been, as always, absolutely brilliant. They are such a good group of people. They've pulled together. They've shared in the sadness, they've shared in the shock and the grief, they've been brilliant.
What has it been like seeing your business name, Club Chemistry, in national headlines, mentioned in Parliament debates? That must have been quite jarring, especially under such tragic circumstances.
Yeah, it was. I mean, particularly the House of Commons, it was so fresh at the time as well, and my stomach dropped when they start, and then just the repetition. It's something that is challenging.
What do you think will be the lasting impact of you know, on club chemistry's reputation following all this?
I do not know. You tell me. I don't know. My feeling is there is the obvious link now, and that's never going anywhere. People have lost their lives, and that we are associated with that, and the sadness and the shock around that. The shock will wane, but the rest of it will not. But we also are a trusted brand. We've been here for many years. We're nearly 40 years old. We're part of the community. So I don't know. Time will tell on that one.
Meantime, we're told the cost of parking in Canterbury over the Easter holidays will be lowered to try and bring people back to the city. It'll only cost £1 a day to use the park and ride service during the school break. The council say they want to give local businesses a boost following a drop in footfall. And a play area in Canterbury that's been closed for almost a year is set to reopen, but only temporarily. The facility at Danejohn Gardens has been off limits while improvement works are made to the grounds. City bosses say it'll be open again until the end of the Easter holidays. The full reopening of the gardens will be at the end of May.
Kent Online reports.
We've got some travel news for you now, and it's expected to be the busiest Easter on the roads in 4 years. The RAC is predicting 21 million leisure journeys will be made between Thursday and Easter Monday. Operation Brock is going to be deployed on the M20 between Maidstone and Ashford to help deal with cross-channel traffic. Elsewhere, a public meeting is going to be held about the progress of repairs to Galley Hill Road 3 years after a landslip. A section of the A226 in Swanscombe collapsed in April 2023. Residents and business owners say they've been suffering with traffic diverted through residential areas. It's estimated it's going to cost around £50 million to fix. The meeting will be held next month. And there are calls for urgent safety measures outside Iwade Primary School. Parents say there's growing traffic from an increased number of developments around School Lane, and it's only a matter of time before someone's hurt. They want a designated crossing or lollipop person. Kent County Council say they're in discussions with the school and parish council. Now, a warning's been issued about scammers pressuring Kent residents into paying for unnecessary work in their homes. The local trading standards team says doorstop criminals have been active over the last week in several parts of the county. We're told the work is often poor quality and too expensive. Next on the podcast, we can hear from a Herne Bay man who's making final preparations to run 200 miles to Paris as part of a mental health campaign. 22-year-old Finn Dale will be setting off from his local pub tomorrow. It's going to take him 2 weeks to get to the iconic Eiffel Tower. Well, Finn has been telling me how he came up with the idea.
It was probably about a year ago I had the first initial thought, but I didn't really have, like, the time or nothing. It didn't really add up. It wasn't the right time to go ahead and actually do it. But now I've got time on my hands. I've got everything logistically that I need. And it's just something I've always wanted to do.
And was Paris always going to be the destination? You always wanted to run to the Eiffel Tower, or did you consider other locations?
I think Paris was, well, it's the first one that definitely came to mind. But I think I went through with it initially because, well, relatively, if you speak like realistically, you can run to Paris and it's world famous landmark. And it's got that wow factor, if you know what I mean, when you say you're running to the Eiffel Tower, which is amazing.
Absolutely. And I'm sure everyone at your local is well and truly behind you. But obviously, there's a very significant reason as to why you're doing this.
It's
going to be raising money. Tell us where that money is going to be going.
So I've been raising money for the charity CALM, which stands for Campaign Against Living Miserably. They are a suicide prevention charity. Since I heard about them, I've done research on them. I'm sure if anyone wants to go do their own research, they can. It will just show you how great they are, how much help they give loads of people. And yeah, it's just something that, like, I believe I stand for, like, very highly. As some people may or may not know, me and my family, we lost our granddad over 10 years ago to suicide. So it's something very, like, meaningful to us.
Absolutely. And that must have been a really difficult time for you because what were you, about 11 or 12 at the time?
I was six. So it was about 16, 17 years ago. A long time ago. So I was only a kid. But as I've been getting older, obviously I've seen the effects that it had on my uncle, my nan, my mum, my auntie, just like the higher generation of my like generations of my family.
And I guess now as well that you're older, you were very young at the time, you probably understand a bit more about it now. And you
Yeah, I
know,
mean, I kind of remember it was, I think my mum was always very open and honest. Even though I might not have understood it, she wanted me to understand from a young age what it was and like how, because everyone wants to know, you know, like how their granddad dies. Because it's just have it's questions you have as a young kid. So mum was always very open about it. Like, that was probably very hard for her, but it was amazing. Like, it's the best thing she could have done.
and you, as a young man now, we talk a lot about mental health. How important is it that you talk about your own mental health or your friends' mental health and
It's
ask each
huge.
other how they are?
It's huge. I mean, that's why people have friends. You have friends, so you can go and talk to a friend. That is the definition of a friend. You can go and tell them anything you want in any scenario, and they will help you. There is always someone out there. Always someone. I know a lot of people who have maybe felt alone or something like this. It's just really want to push that urge that people go and speak to someone because it helps. When you may not think it helps, just vocalizing how you feel sometimes is huge and very, very vital.
You can find a link to the fundraising page within the story about Finn. Just search for Finn Dale Kent Online to access the article.
Kent Online reports.
A secondary school in Faversham is celebrating after Ofsted found significant positive change. Inspectors visited the Abbey School in January and highlighted good support for pupils and a strong culture of care. Overall, the school secured strong standard and expected standard gradings across almost all criteria. A primary school on Sheppey has announced it's opening a new nursery to meet growing demand. Bosses at Halfway Houses in Danley Road say they'll launch the £150,000 facility this September. It says the government is spending £45 million to create 300 school-based nurseries across the country to provide more early years places. A dad from Ashford has started a men's support group to tackle loneliness and improve mental well-being. Lloyd Stanley started the huddle in November to reach out to as many men as possible and to remove barriers to seeking support. They hold regular meetups around the town and have more than 300 members. Racing driver Nicholas Hamilton has become a patron of a Kent Children's charity. He's the half-brother of Lewis Hamilton and made history by competing in the British Touring Car Championship while living with cerebral palsy. Recently visited a retreat run by We Are Beams near Dartford for children with disabilities. And there are plans to build a mobile sauna on the beach near Deal. An application's been put in by Sea Scrub Sauna, which recently opened a new site at Folkestone Harbour Arm. Bosses say they're hoping to launch next to Roman Landing's Adventure Golf in Walmer in the coming months.
Kent Online Sport.
Football first up, and it was another defeat for Gillingham at the weekend, their fifth in a row. They were beaten 2-0 at Crawley Town, with both goals coming in the dying moments of the match. Manager Gareth Ainsworth spoke to the club's media team after the final whistle.
We should walk away with a point. We should walk away with a point, as the whole thing of that is, if we're not going to win, not a great game, lack of quality of both sides, some of our set pieces and our crossing just way off, the final moments way off, you know, you're looking at a 19 year old being your best player on your pitch, you know. It shouldn't be like that. It should not be like that. I don't know if there's a mental problem here, because there's no lack of preparation, there's no physical reason we should be giving away two goals in the 90th and 93rd minutes. Just lack of quality defending. You know, if we're not gonna win a game, don't lose the game. Really disappointed with the goals. You know, they've given everything to boys again, and I keep going over this, but yeah, feel the fans' frustrations big time. I'm frustrated, really frustrated. You know, we tried something a little bit different this week in training. I'm not going to let it get me down. Not a chance. You know, I've been down this season already. I have to say I'm getting used to this, and I don't want to. I want to start winning, and that's not. It's not good. We need some characters in that dressing room. We need some people to stand up, take ownership, take things. But listen, we've got one or two that will give everything and really go for it. And like I keep saying, we haven't got enough quality in the building. We've got a lot of injuries again. Omar, Robbie, Ethan, Armani out. You know, I can go on and on, Shadrach, and you know, plenty. But we should be better. We should be better. We should have enough in the tank to come to Crawley. No disrespect to Crawley. You know, but the other teams at the bottom are going to think, what's happened there? I've probably been telling them, watch the goals. Not good, not great defending. And we've got to put that right.
The result leaves the Gills 17th in the League 2 table. We can hear now from defender Andy Smith.
Yeah, we're gutted in the game for most of the game. But second half of the season, we've not managed moments well enough. It's cost us today. Today's got absolutely nothing to do with system, tactics, anything like that. Just comes down to two moments. Letting the gaffer down at the minute, I think. As a squad, we need to start taking ownership. It hurts at the minute, but yeah.
For 89 and a half minutes, defended resolutely, really. I think you won pretty much every individual battle, but I guess just two moments where we've given them a bit of space and they punched us.
Yeah, and that's the problem at the minute. You know, things aren't going our way. It's only us that can dig us out of it. We've got to put it right starting Monday. Go again. It just really hurts at the minute. Feel like we're letting the gaffer, the staff down, the fans down. And it's on us as players.
Staying with football, and London City Lionesses have drawn 1-1 away at West Ham in the Women's Super League. The side who train in Aylesford are seventh in the table following the result. And Punjab United have drawn in the first leg of their FA Vase semi-final. The Gravesend team travelled to Cockfosters yesterday and it finished 1-1. The reverse fixture will be played this weekend coming at their home ground in Gravesend. On to boxing now, and Chatham's Moses Atalma has become the first boxer to stop American Jermaine Franklin. The 21-year-old won by knockout in the fifth round of their heavyweight contest in Manchester on Saturday night. Atalma now has 14 victories as a professional and is tipped for a world title shot next. And in cricket, Kent will continue batting on the final day of their pre-season friendly against Oxford Uni. They're due to resume today on 31 for 2 in their second innings at Canterbury. That's a lead of 276 runs. It's all part of preparations for their first proper game against Durham in the county championship, which starts this Friday. And finally, into ice hockey, Kent's Invicta Dynamos have beaten Solent Devils in the South Division 1 playoff quarterfinals. They won 7-5 overall after matches at home and away over the weekend. The Mos will face Slough Jets in the semi-final after they beat Cardiff Fire 26-2 on aggregate. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials, plus you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk, and whilst you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.